Hey, Al, you ready?
Well, we've got an especially dirty hippie here down on the court trying to sink an impossible shot.
This is human drama at its best. Just focusing, taking a moment to concentrate. That's okay. Concentrate all you want.
Let's do it.
Coach.
Yellow.
How about this weather we've had the last couple days?
Yeah, it was funny. Like the week before this, it was beautiful for maybe like 10 straight days. It was awesome. And the reason I know this is because I golfed probably 8 out of the 10 days. I was never a golfer growing up. I now have the bug and am fully addicted. Me and my buddies are just, we were going out before work, going out after work. I actually played this past Monday in a monsoon. I was playing in a charity tournament. I'm like addicted. Yeah,
yeah, you're addicted.
I'm buying myself stuff for like buying balls.
That's fun though.
It's great. It's just a new hobby because you know my basketball career is on the downslope, and it's fun seeing myself get better at something rather than with basketball. Now I'm feeling myself get worse, which is a brutal, brutal feeling. But feeling myself get better at golf is nice.
Yeah.
You know, but the weather has been awful. It was literally a monsoon like 2 days ago. I don't know. Did you lose power here?
Luckily, we did not lose power. But essentially, everybody in this area lost power.
Yeah, so my buddy Tommy still has no power. He's not getting it back till Saturday. His parents' house on the Cape.
What did people do before power?
Candles.
I'm not even talking about lights. I'm talking about like...
Oh, like to entertain themselves.
Right.
Oh, I have no idea. And I would never want to live during that time.
Your TV's done.
Yep. No TV.
Can't charge your computer.
Yep.
Your phone eventually dies. What do you do?
Play cards?
Talk?
I guess. Talk? I mean, sit and actually look at a person and talk to them. Cook food, I guess, if you have like a gas.
Well, if it's an electric,
but if it's electric, you can't do that. If you have gas, you can maybe get away with it, but... yeah.
See, like playing
cards, essentially. Uno. Just playing Go Fish.
With candles,
yeah. Yeah. Jeez. No thanks.
Tough.
Yeah, my buddy hasn't had power since yesterday. He's not getting it back, they told him, until Saturday. National grid is
the cell tower
absolutely
crushed.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. So in North Attleboro, we're fortunate. We never lose power, you know, knock on wood. But we have our own electric company in the town, so we don't rely on National Grid. So like when something goes out, they're on it like within minutes and they get it taken care of. Mm. We were fine this whole this whole week. We've been good.
Yeah, the cell truck got crushed. We so some of my buddies are teachers.
Yep.
I'll just say his name. So Joey McCabe.
Joey Mack, of course. Shout
First
out.
Time I ever called him Joey, I must be a little nervous right now to talk.
Yeah, Joey Mack.
Huge, huge, huge lover of this type of weather.
Oh, of course. If you're a teacher, any bad
draw
day,
the curtains.
Like, yeah,
he loves depression weather. He loves
all for it.
Oh, he loves depression.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything that you can take positively out of this weather, it's all right. We're just going to chill on the couch here and be a blob for 24 hours, right, if not more. I mean, this whole week it's been like this all week, and it's not only is it crappy. Like the rain, because like it rains in the summer, but the summer's different. Like it's dark all day now here in the Northeast. Like it's dark when you wake up, and when I leave work, it is dark.
We talked about it, seasonal depression. It's real.
Oh,
life.
Yeah. It's a very real thing. If I didn't coach basketball, I'd probably have it.
Yeah.
And I might have had it last year during our season.
Winter's tough. Winter's tough. But we ended up going to the mall. It was good though. I hadn't been to the mall in a while. I gotta mention this. There's, you know, those kiosks. Is that what they're called? The things in the middle of the mall?
Yeah, kiosk. Yeah,
kiosk.
Yeah. Well, like, hey, come get some lotion, or fix your cracked iPhone.
Yes.
Screen are usually the big ones.
Yes. That kiosk, it's right outside of like the Foot Locker. It's with those little furry fucking things that just
like
That's that noise?
Yeah.
The whole all day, every day.
I don't know what your is it like a doll?
Oh, dude. These things.
Like a keychain thing?
No.
Like a Furby? Like,
it's like a Furby, but it's got probably like wheels or something underneath it. And it's in like a case. And these things just fucking go back and forth.
It sounds awful.
And they
awful.
Make these that exact noise.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, we go
also,
to the mall.
Also, I can't go to the Foot Locker either. Reason for that is my feet. Too
yeah,
because
you have a small canoe.
Yeah, I have to buy all my shoes online. Yeah. I can't go into a store. So I haven't been to a shoe store in probably a decade. Right. Yeah, got to get everything online. Or from Rico, if Rico wants to throw me a few.
And it's really hard to find lumber right now.
Unbelievably difficult. Lumber's prices have gone down, but still very expensive comparatively.
Yep, Sheen's Arc. But we ended up grabbing lunch, and then I made the executive decision where I said, you know what? Kind of like I told you, I'm living the life of yes man right now.
Yep.
Saying yes to a lot of things that people bring up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Brandon, you want to do this? Yes. Hey, I'm thinking about yes. So I was like, it's Wednesday night. You got no school. I haven't been to the movies in a long time. Let's go see Halloween.
Another place where I can definitively say I haven't been to a movie theater.
So we
got to
get Coach Sheen out.
Yeah. I've never been a huge movie theater guy. I was as a kid, you know, we all were as a kid. You know, because like birthday parties, you know, you go to see, because obviously there wasn't streaming back then, you know, so like things didn't just come out. Now, I really have no reason to go to the movie theater.
It's not about enjoying. See, I know what you're saying. You're because the prices.
Yeah, I don't understand the $25 to see a movie.
It's the
I just
experience.
Don't understand that. I know it is, but my couch is more comfortable than the seats. Although I will say they do have comfortable seats there now.
No.
They have like leather recliners there.
9 times out of 10, I'm going to want to watch a movie at home, right?
Right.
For many different reasons. You can press pause.
That's right.
You can go to the bathroom and
That's
not
right.
lose
yep.
where you were,
You can
right?
go to your fridge.
Go to your fridge.
Yep.
Yep.
Much cheaper than the $14 large popcorn.
You can lay down, like with a pillow. Now.
That's right.
But you can basically lay down, depending on where you're going.
They recline now.
Right.
Like pretty, what I've been told, like you're legitimately laying down.
Yep.
Yeah.
How
was Halloween?
Awful.
The 15th installment of Michael. I can't believe Michael Myers is still alive. I thought they got him in one of the movies.
Awful.
He's got to be 70 years old now.
He is. And
lumbering around, chasing women.
Still won't sleep for a year, but awful.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, too. It's like, the reason why I say it's awful is because at a certain point, like, he's got to die, right?
Correct.
And the people that are... there was 9 times in this movie where people are just like firing off shots at him.
Yeah.
Point blank range. I've never shot a gun.
Right.
But like, I got to assume it's not as difficult as these people make it seem.
I've shot a gun before. Not all that hard.
You got cops in these movies.
Yeah.
That are missing point blank range 6 or 7 times. And as you know, Big Mike
is big. He's supposed to be like 6'7", isn't he? Like enormous. He's enormous.
Just walks around everywhere.
Yeah.
So he's not even running. He's walking in a straight direction of wherever he's going.
Right, with work boots on and overalls. Yeah, that's always been a weird... And I'm not a huge scary movie guy because I'm soft as shit, but like...
Neither am I.
Can't stand him, personally. Kim always makes fun of me about it, but just not a fan. Like, why would I choose to scare myself when I could go see a comedy and make myself laugh? That's always been kind of my
100%.
Thing behind it.
Yep.
Throw
a little kid in a movie. I'm not sleeping for a full year.
Yeah, some of those, like The Conjuring and all that stuff. Like, like even Paranormal Activity. That might have been the last scary movie I've seen, actually in theaters. So that was a while ago. I was like, I'm good.
I'm all set.
Yeah,
I'm
good.
Because then I go home and I'm opening up the shower curtains.
Right,
every
like everything.
I
yeah,
have.
It's just a nightmare show, literally.
Yeah. So there was that. Being at the movies, it brings back a lot of memories. I love the movies, honestly, as a kid. We used to go all the time. We go right on the #9 bus.
I was going to say, which one would you go to in downtown?
We used to go to downtown.
Like downtown Cross. Where's the lowest theater down
the
there?
The best movie theater growing up was Randolph because they were the ones who first had the stadium seating.
Ah, okay.
And then, but like if we didn't have the ability to go to Randolph, we'd take the #9, we'd go to the one in Copley. Copley wasn't great, but. You know, as kids, that's where we would always go.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of people in this movie theater. Speaking of which, first off, I guess it's a little tough of a question to ask you because you're not going to the movie theater as much. What do you got for me? When was the last, you have a reserve seats at a movie theater?
I have.
Okay.
So, yeah, you go, everything's online. Like, you don't go up to the person anymore at, like, the desk, the counter, and say, hey, I need two tickets, right? It's, like, all online, and then, like,
if I had
like,
a guess, though, I feel like you would be the type of person, you drive a movie theater, you want the...
Love a good drive-in. I have been to a drive, like, you know, the suburbs, we got a lot of drive-ins in our area, so we actually...
I've never been to one of those.
There's two. So, there's one in Mendon, which is, like, the, kind of like the quote-unquote famous one, the Mendon drive-in, and then there's one in Woonsocket, which used to be a triple X drive-in theater.
Wow.
So back in the day, not when we were like in like the 70s and 80s. Mm. So like you'd be driving on 146.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you just see a pair of breasts on the screen as you're driving down 146 off the massive screen. I can't imagine what that was like, but
sounds like
it's not anymore.
Sounds like a nice thing.
Obviously. Yeah, right. So it's not anymore, obviously.
Yep.
But love a good drive-in. Yeah, I don't mind a drive-in during the summer and stuff.
But have you ever reserved seats at a movie theater is what I'm asking.
I have.
So, okay, you have a full movie theater.
Right.
Opened to yourself.
So you have, yeah.
There's probably, let's just say there's like 6 or 8 seats taken this thing.
Okay.
Okay? When you go to choose your seats, where are you choosing, first off?
Always in the, obviously, middle screen and, you know, like maybe, I don't know, middle of the pack, I don't know, 10, depending on how many rows there are, maybe the 8th to 10th row.
Okay.
I don't want to be in 4, 5 and up because then you're just straining.
Yeah, you're breaking your neck
the whole time.
Yeah. So, okay, there was people in our row.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
But I was like specific. I'm like, all right, pick these two seats, leave one open on each side of us. You know what I'm saying?
So
I'm
like, of course. Yeah, a little buffer area.
Right.
Right.
Because
so you're not fighting for the cup holder, which is always, that was always a fight. That's like on a plane too. You're fighting for the arm.
One's the arm, but the other thing is like I don't want to be next to somebody.
That's a good point too.
That I don't know.
Masks in the movie theaters now?
No. No, I mean unless you're in Boston, but like I don't want to be next to somebody I don't know.
Yeah. For sure.
So we got two on the end, but we left the end seat opened. And then there was like a seat open next to myself as well.
Okay.
Cuz in my head I was telling Joe, I'm like, "Well, the only person that's going to take this end seat right here is going to be a creep." So we can easily just tell that person, you gotta move on.
This is,
there's 100 other seats open.
Yeah.
We have got a friend these coming. Seats before you.
Yeah.
We know that your mind's not in the right place if you want to sit directly next to us.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right.
Right?
Absolutely right.
There's an equation to this. Yeah. So this was the second time I've been to the movie theater since COVID. So what, second time in basically
two years. Yeah.
The first time, we don't need to really talk about it. It was Space Jam 2, which was a decent letdown.
I still haven't seen it.
Decent letdown. It wasn't great.
Yeah, I've been told it's not really worth it. I'll see it. I have to see it at some point just based off principle.
We can maybe talk about it later, but so this is the second time. What I realized being back in there, though, was that I have zero patience at the movie theater. Now, I also have zero patience.
Just zero, I was about to say, wait, let's slow
zero,
down.
So like, at this point patience. In my life, I have zero
you
patience.
You and I have zero patience to begin with.
Zero patience.
It's a coach thing.
But the previews are on, and there's now people behind me, and then there's people 5 or 6 seats in my row to my left.
Okay.
And just talking like they're at a restaurant during the previews.
Yeah, it's a concert.
That, once the lights go down, the movie started for me.
I'm in agreement with you. Yeah, absolutely.
Lights are down, the movie started for me.
Right. Sometimes the previews are better than the movie.
100%. It's like watching the commercials during a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Okay.
They're there for a reason.
100%. So I kept giving over like the
glance.
Now when you at this movie theater with the seats, when you put them up and down,
sure.
It sounds like they need WD-40. It's very loud.
Okay.
So it's like I kept doing that.
So they haven't
to try to get the attention of these young kids next to me on their Snap chisel.
Yeah, and, like shut the fuck up.
And I'm
type
just
of
staring
thing.
At them. I'm like, come on. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I just
and they have no self awareness, as we know, no feel. It's like, generated.
I'm holding my Starburst that I just spent $12.50 on. I want to watch these previews.
Right. And enjoy myself.
They must have got up 5 or 6 times during the movie.
Yeah. See, and that's also why I don't like to sit on the end. I want to be the person that makes you stand up. I don't want to be the one who always has to stand up.
No. They didn't make me move.
Oh, just in general.
No, my feet were already like hanging over. That's right. Another thing.
That's another thing as well. We don't.
No, no. I actually. Any. That's what I also do. I look at what's going on in the row in front of me because, you know, daddy
up.
Long legs here. Sure. My legs are going to be hitting the next row up in front of me.
Yeah, just tapping the guy in the back of the head. Sure. Right. Yeah.
And then the lady behind me, I can't make this up. The lady behind me, I don't know if she brought her own sandwich, but the entire time, all the way probably at a good half hour into the movie, it just sounded like crumpled up tinfoil every time she put her hand into whatever the fuck she brought into that movie.
100% had her own snack bag, no question, which is a veteran move.
Yeah, but it's Halloween movie, which again, we're going to give it a D minus.
Sure. Your type of film, though.
On a Wednesday night, and there's right. eight people in this movie.
I can't believe there was even eight, to be honest with you.
And I got to be around these people.
Yeah. That's what you get for a Wednesday night at the movies, I feel. I feel like that's the crowd.
Well, you know, again, like, I got to assume at least six out of the eight, which that's probably a little bit, four out of the eight people that were there probably didn't have power at their house.
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, sure.
So, like, anybody who's out at the movies or the mall or anything yesterday is probably because they're trying to kill time.
Exactly.
But, again, once again, I love the movies. I just don't like when it turns into that.
Yeah, well, it's an annoyance.
Yeah.
And that's why I'll stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw her on Twitter the other day, and I wish I could take credit for this topic, but I can't. How do you feel about, now, if you're this person too, you know, stick to your guns.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about people who CC their boss or coworkers on an email to direct something at a specific individual they work with? So, for instance, okay?
Yeah, give me an example of like what you're talking about, because I do CC people at times.
You don't fulfill something. You work with a team. Me and you were a team.
Right.
Okay? And we have to obviously answer to a higher power.
Correct.
You don't do something within your quote-unquote team effort thing, whatever you're supposed to fuck do, right? So I reach out to our boss,
okay,
and say, this is what happened, this is why this happened, this is the result of why we did not get this sale.
Okay, sure.
But it's on you.
Right.
Instead of us just figuring it out on our end,
mm-hmm.
or just having you have that conversation if need be.
Okay.
So basically what I'm saying is people ratting, call it ratting.
Yeah.
Tattletailing on coworkers.
Oh, hate that.
To their bosses.
Hate that. Would never do that.
By dropping a nice little CC.
Yeah, no, would never do that. That's awful. Yeah, no. Absolutely not. That's ridiculous.
You've never had that happen to you?
No. In my, you know, my company's pretty different because it's a family company. Again, it's like my best friend's family company. So like if something happens, we are not afraid to kind of call each other out in person, never mind via email. So
right.
We don't have to really deal with that. But
it's a coward move.
That's exactly what it is.
It's a coward move.
That's a cop-out move. Like, I don't want to deal with this, but I'm going to put it out into the atmosphere and just see how the leaves
fall. I'm just
going
to straight up say it. It happened to me in my line of work. Something must have got overseen, whatever. But instead of coming directly to me,
right,
they CC'd my manager, my higher power, my boss. So
absolutely unnecessary.
Yep. So I responded by replying to all first off. Yep. Saying, sorry about the miscommunication. I'll make sure to double check my end next time. Also moving forward, feel free to just reach out to me next time. We don't need to involve anybody else. What I also did,
Brandon.
Here's my thing about this, right? This person is our age, maybe a little younger.
Okay. So that's okay.
Involved in the sport, someone you could potentially see out in like a social setting. So
right.
My whole thing is like, if you saw me out like a week later, a couple days later, whatever, you're not going to feel fucking awkward when you see me.
Oh, brutal.
And you don't have like, this person obviously didn't know like that I was going to respond the way I did because they obviously didn't know me well enough. But like, now that you do know me well enough, like now that you... And this person like backtracked. They're like, I wasn't trying to get you in trouble. Yeah, like I was just trying.
Yeah, you're lying.
You're saying that because,
shit,
because
you just got called out.
Right.
Yeah. If you had just been like, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, it won't happen again. He would have been like, perfect. That's exactly how I wanted to go. The fact that you called him out.
Right.
He's like,
But like, even so, like if you didn't think I was going to even like stand up for myself or whatever. Like, you're not going to feel awkward when you see that person again.
Oh,
like,
I feel super awkward.
You know what I mean?
Oh, awful. Like, because everyone wants to say that there's, you know, everyone says like the separation between church and state. You know what I mean? Like, you try and keep that stuff separate. Like, it's hard, especially in your line of work, where you're seeing a lot of these people on the weekends at tournaments and you're seeing them out, whatever, and because, you know, in Boston or whatever. Very hard to keep it separate. Like, you know, if you're going to see somebody, you're going to talk about stuff that, you know, it's what's going, the going ons of the week. So I would have been avoiding you. If I had seen you out, I'd have been like, oh, head down, just kind of walk by. I would have been like, no, I'm good.
And the best part is I threw a period at one of my texts when I texted him.
Now, this is something we need to chat about. Yeah,
all I said to him over the text was, hey, once again, like I reiterated in my email, if you have a problem or you need to get something figured out, feel free, this is my cell phone number, feel free to give me a call.
Yep.
Or a text. But you don't involve other people.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how this works.
It's not necessary. Because what was your manager going to do? Well, he was just going to say, hey, yeah, you just don't. This is literally probably what your manager said. Yeah, just, you know, make sure it's okay next time.
Right. Human like, error. Things happen all the time.
And what's he going to do? Like, it happened.
Right.
It's gone.
Done.
It's in the past. Like, there's nothing that can be done about it now.
There's never been a person who hasn't made mistakes.
That's right.
So... But he's, you know, whatever he responded back with, like, oh, wasn't trying to get you in trouble. I just wrote, okay, period. Ooh. So
the period in a text, at the end of a text, can change the tone of everything, whether you're trying to do it or not. I've learned that recently. I've been using period just because, I don't know, I don't like leaving a sentence without a period at the end. I don't know, and you probably maybe even notice it when I'm texting you, and you do it to me as well. But I'll tell you, sometimes I get texts from you like, "Oh, Brandon must be upset with me today." not that I like really think that, but I'm like, "Oh, maybe he's not having a great day."
Oh, with me in particular,
but you know, just in general of like, you know,
have
like,
I perioded you? Before?
I think so, but like not like an okay period. It would just be like a normal sentence where you put a period at the end of the sentence. Like my mom has this classic thing, and this might be an older folks, but like our parents' age thing, my mom will say, okay, dot, dot, dot. So what does that read to you? That reads, okay, right? Like that type of tone. Like, hey, mom, can you help me with something? Like, hey, ma, I'm going to come by the house just to grab something. Okay, dot, okay. Yeah.
No, I get that. I get that.
But, and then I called her on it. I go, hey, what's up with the three period? Like, are you questioning me or something? Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh no, that's just what I do to space things out. So space things out. Just press the space button. Space things out. Use a comma.
Yeah.
But the period in text that's a very interesting topic. It can really kind of change the tone of a text, whether you mean to do it or not.
I don't like dealing with shit later. So if like, say I, for instance, like have, you know, if I feel like I did something wrong with, you know, the significant other and she drops me a period, I'll be like, what's wrong? And they write, nothing.
Oh, dead man walking.
I'll just pick up the phone and call at that point.
Dead man. Yeah, you're a dead man walking.
I can read. People say don't read through text. I can read through text.
I constantly do it. And the person probably isn't upset. Could be upset, whatever it is. I'm always reading into tones of texts, and that's a character flaw for me.
Yeah.
It's a character flaw.
Yes.
Oh, I'm hand up, 100%. But like, you know, but yeah, like everyone, I think everyone has gone through dealing with, you know, in a past relationship, whatever, where the person says just K and you're like the alarms start to go off. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then hey, K, like, what's going on here?
Right.
So for instance, so my buddies and I, we do this thing. We always say, okay, okay. We could just do it twice. It's like a funny thing that we have from work. I deal with China quite a bit in my job because I do a lot of our producing and, you know, it is what it is, guys. I know you're probably going to call me out on it, but it's a hell of a lot cheaper and a hell of a lot faster than doing stuff domestically. So they always say, okay, okay, with everything that they do. So now me and my buddies have started doing it. And I started doing it to Kim via text one day. And she thought I was being like, okay, okay, like chill. But I was just saying, okay, okay. Tones of text is a very interesting topic. We could do 4 hours on this.
Yes.
And I don't know. I always put a period, or I have been putting periods at the end of my texts just because I don't like how it looks. And this is, again, another character flaw. I just don't like how it looks without a period at the end. It's like, it looks weird, especially if you're doing like a couple sentences together. But I've also become a person who will send like multiple texts rather than just one long one. I don't know how you feel about that. Or your thoughts on that, because I'm
a multiple text guy.
Multiple text guy.
I just spit off as I'm.
That's right. It's just, yeah, it's just verbal, as my old high school teacher, Mr. Gagnon, would say. He calls it verbal diarrhea.
Mm-hmm. That's basically my life.
Yeah, based on the text, it's mental diarrhea essentially. Mm-hmm. And you're just going, instead of one long text, I'll send you 15 different text messages.
Taylor was texting me in the house last night while I was in the house.
That's hilarious.
I finally sent her a text back. I exchanged and text said, messages
I can,
with her.
I can like, hear you typing.
Like eight text messages back and forth. Finally, I said, why are we texting right now?
Yeah.
She was in the bedroom and I was in the living room. Yeah, it was like 15 feet apart.
Maybe even less.
But that's
with that said, I've done that with Kimberly as well.
That's where we're heading.
That's 2020. Sad. That's exactly right.
That's sad. I got to mention a couple of things though about Halloween weekend before we get started with our guest. So trick or treaters. Not sure if you had any, Coach. We had a few over here.
I didn't, because I wasn't home to give him anything. Wow. I was not there, and I didn't leave out a bowl. So, you know, I hope I didn't. I might have, but, you know,
Jesus
I don't.
Jesus Christ, bag of shit.
Yeah, so not much of a team guy when it comes to that.
Not a team guy.
I'm not a candy guy. I never was growing up. Halloween's never been a big holiday for me. I've just been a candy guy.
So we had a few. It was a light drizzle that night. So we had a few trick-or-treaters. And, you know, the trick-or-treaters that we had, I want to mention one. One was showing up on a vehicle. So one was on one of those motorized four-wheelers.
That's awesome.
How cool is that? And the dad was cheating. The one controlling it. Semi-cheap. The dad, yeah. I didn't know at the time. This little kid pulled right up to the front of my stairs on this like Mercedes-Benz four-wheeler, got out of the car, got right back in it, and then was looking at me as it went into a reverse. Yeah,
showing off. He's like, hey,
reverse,
look at my
and then pants. Like a beautiful 3-point turn. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
So I was like shocked. I'm sitting there shocked. And the father shows me the control in his hand. I'm like, okay. But like, how cool is that? But I can't wait.
He was kind of like, look at my Benz. You drive a Volkswagen.
Right. Right. Deal.
That's kind of what the vibe I'm getting from him.
And then the last thing I want to talk about was, so big bowl of candy, had all the goods, as you know, Skittles was in there, Starburst. What'd you say?
Or full size candy bars? Or
we had a few. You had a dig. We had a few. You had a dig. We're not going to throw those babies on top. But
I like that.
So
I like that.
But how about this one? You ready? I had an adult, not dressed up, said thank you and gave one of these. A slow scoop.
What did they get?
I don't know what they got. I was just looking at them like
astonished.
Like, you're like 43 years old, dipping your hands into the candy jar that another trick-or-treater may or may not have the opportunity to get next time down.
Astonishing.
She said thank you and did this.
Yeah, like trying to sneak it in. Like she was waiting for you to say something, but you didn't.
I looked at Taylor after. I was like, did that just fucking happen? Is that real life? Is that real life? Is that where we are in society that you can't go and get a fun size pack of Skittles after this is all said and done?
Well,
unbelievable.
You, if she had just waited until like yesterday, the prices drop like 90%.
Yes.
It's like a bag of Skittles pre-Halloween is like $60.
Yes.
A bag of Skittles post-Halloween is like 11 cents.
Yeah. So I had to bring that up. I know like we have a big basketball guest on today, but I couldn't let the Halloween dirtball get away with that one. It was a tough.
Just been giving them out individually, but you know, that's a story for another time.
No, it's not, because I'm also not a guy like every kid said happy Halloween, trick or treat. So I'm like, trick or treat, go right ahead. Dig your hand into that bowl, grab whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you to take one. I'm not that guy.
If some kid went in there and grabbed the whole thing, I'd judge him after his character flaws, but I wouldn't tell him no. Put it that way.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, yeah. That's fair.
So again, we have an important guest on tonight. Huge name, another huge name in the Rhode Island area. So we had which was in coach, you gave Tyler Kolick a nickname when he was on. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, Mr. Cumberland.
Mr. Cumberland.
The Cumberland Killer, I think I called him.
Yep.
And obviously Rhodey forever. But we got someone here a little further south in Rhode Island. But you know, from a great little, you know, a lot of actually two, and you'll be able to answer this in a second, but two or three Division I basketball players from this town in the past 5 or 6 years, I think. So pretty legit. I mean, a legit place with a lot of talent.
So a Jordan Brand All-American. He was top 40 in the country for the ESPN 100, was ranked number two player in New England behind a current NBA player, which I'll let maybe coach. Do you know who that is?
I think it's Simi Shitu. And I didn't even know he was still in the NBA. So
he might be in the G League. Cole might know. And I just gave it away right there.
Just gave it away.
But we're excited to have Mr. Cole Swider of Syracuse University on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. That was a hell of an intro. So I appreciate it.
Well, we try. You know, I do my best. You know, it's
we check out the Wikipedia page. We check out the rest of social media, you know, and again, you're a local guy for us. And, you know, like we were saying before, Cole, you know, we've known each other for a while now. I mean, you're entering, I think this is your senior year, right? Officially. Yep. And, you know, Caleb's doing his fifth year at WPI. So, you know, we first met down at St. Andrews in Barrington and spent quite a bit of time together, as we were mentioning before. But just for people, who don't know, Cole is from Portsmouth, Rhode Island. And like I mentioned, there's at least two or three, Cole, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Division I players from there. It's yourself, Chris Heron Jr., who's now, and maybe we could talk about this, he's now a wide receiver at Alabama, which is kind of came out of nowhere. I'm not sure how close you are with him. And then Andrew, and I'll never get his last name right, played at Butler. I'm going to let you go ahead and pronounce his last name.
Yeah, we had Andrew Shravitz, and then we had Henry Bolton, who also went to St. Andrews. He played at Utah State.
We failed to mention this in the intro. Cole also played for St. Andrews. Cole, not sure how frequently you're on Twitter, but I got to ask you, do you follow Coach Hart on Twitter?
Because
he might be the most underrated Twitter account follow there is in the game right now.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, man. If someone has a good game from St. Andrews, he'll tweet out. He'll retweet every single thing about the kid. You know what I mean? Like,
he's a team guy. Yeah.
Hell yeah. You've been getting a ton of pub on his Twitter page recently.
Yeah,
With everything that you've been doing. It's like the Cole Swider show. You forget it's his account because I don't even think it's a picture of him either.
No. He never has a picture of himself. It's always someone else or another jersey.
Well, he's a tell it how it is guy, Coach Hart. Yeah. Like if he, and that's what I love about him. I don't know him well enough. Him and I know each other. But he is like one of those guys. If he feels like something needs to be talked about, he'll hop on the Twitter account. He'll press send. No problem. No problem at all.
Okay. He lets it rip. And Cole, I have to ask you this just, I know Coach Hart again fairly well, just like I know you just from being in the gym all the time. Can you please explain to me some of those baseline out of bounds plays, the names of those plays where it was like algebra 2 and 1 was like a history class thing. Can you just explain that to the folks here who don't know who Coach Hart is and like in the program?
Yeah, so Coach Hart, he likes to name his plays after, so his offenses are all college programs that his players go to. His defenses are colors, and then his out of bounds play he likes to dedicate it to the education. So it's all like to the school, right? So we had photosynthesis.
Yes, that was one of them, photosynthesis.
We had Van Gogh. I think we had geometry. Like we had everything. You know what I mean? Every single subject was accounted for. So only Coach Hart, I mean.
He's the only one who can get away with that. And people will be like, that guy's brilliant.
So, Cole, I with – with coming off of that, that introduction. And again, Cole was, a highly, highly, highly coveted player and obviously still is, playing for Syracuse University, but had a, had a lot of hype, had a lot of hype coming out of high school, and he's living up to it right now. His first two exhibition games for Syracuse, I believe scored 21 in the first and 18 in the second. So things are looking up and things are looking really great for our guy, Cole, who's going to be starting, I'm assuming this year for Syracuse. Cole, talk to me about what it was like coming out of high school with such high expectations as a basketball player. You know, obviously basketball, and I did see this on Twitter as well, and hopefully you can dip into this as well. You spoke about basketball anxiety on the Syracuse Twitter account, which I think is something that a lot of kids are going to benefit from hearing moving forward, because when Coach and I played, there wasn't social media, right? There wasn't like rankings for what it's worth. NERR didn't exist when we played, all these different types of outlets, right? Talk to me a little bit about what that was like. Was it a challenge, and where are you now with all that?
Yeah. I mean, I think coming out of high school, I was obviously very hyped up and the number two player in New England, top 40 in the country, obviously doing all these all-star games and averaging 30 points a game at St. Andrews, playing for Coach Hart, and obviously play with a lot of great players. You know what I mean? I was playing with Zion in the Jordan Brand All-American game. I was playing with RJ Barrett, like all these, all my counterparts now are in the NBA who I was playing with at that time. So during that time, I decided to go to Villanova, obviously a program that's not known for one and dones. It's not known for having players go to the NBA super quickly. They're known for being program guys and waiting your turn and everything like that. But at the time, I mean, being a high school senior and being the man, I never even thought about that. I like, my mindset was never like, oh, I'm going to go and wait. It's like, I'm going to go and play. I'm going to be a 15-point game score my freshman year, 20-point per game score my sophomore year, and then I'm going to go to the NBA. And then once I got to Villanova, I realized that, A, it wasn't a great fit for me on court wise. And then B, I wasn't ready to play, especially in a Villanova system. And you go from everyone telling you you're going to be a one and done. You're at the Jordan Brand All-American game. People asking for your autographs. People telling you these agents contacting you, everything. In the social media era, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of people telling you how great you're going to be. And then as soon as the season started my freshman year, and I wasn't playing that much. I wasn't having the success I wanted to have. All those people go away and they turn the opposite way. Oh, he was never going to be good. He's never going to make the NBA. He's never going to do this or that. And that's when I first started to feel that basketball anxiety for the first time. I've never dealt with anxiety off the court. I've never dealt with anxiety in terms of like schoolwork or anything like that. But being at Villanova and being on that big stage, I mean, we had two. Like Javon Quinn was McDonald's All-American and myself, I was Jordan Brand All-American, and both of us didn't play. And Javon at the time was dealing with it on a whole nother level because he came in with like the whole Jelly Fam thing. He came in with it with 500,000 Instagram followers, and everyone's like talking bad to him on Instagram and social media and coming to him at that platform. So I obviously didn't have it as bad as him, but there was people in my life that like had stopped hitting me up after games, had stopped reaching out to me. And so I kind of went through that for 2 years. And after my sophomore year, I considered transferring, but at the same time I had Sadiq Bey left in the NBA draft. So I kind of felt like I had like a little place where I could come in, I could play, I could start, I could still fill all my dreams at Villanova. And that junior year, and I didn't want to give up on it. You know what I mean? I'm very prideful. I've never backed away from a challenge. I've never started out on a team as like a starter. At St. Andrews, I didn't start. My public school team, I was on JV, and then I was leading scorer on varsity, still playing JV. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I've always had like it against me. So I was like, this is just a part of my story. It's the next step. And then my junior year, I got like kind of like a transfer came in and took my spot, and I felt that whole entire basketball anxiety and no one really like with me. So after my junior year, it was myself, my parents, Coach Hart, And this guy, I don't know if you know him, Ryan. He was in he was a trainer out of Northern Mass. His name's Tim Glover.
Oh, and of course. Yeah. Yep, I know
Tim. I was my trainer growing up in high school. So it was us four in a Zoom call like this after the season. And I was telling him all my concerns, and we were talking about if I should transfer or not. And my dad just asked me, like, do you feel like yourself? Are you happy? And I said no. And that's when all this whole entire thing of basketball anxiety, of feeling like myself, of being this confident player. Because you saw me in high school. There was no one who could tell me anything in high school.
You were doing your thing, baby. You were letting it rip.
And towards the end of my Villanova career, I had been so anxious and trying to do everything perfect and think about what, like, Coach Rice can take me out of the game if I do this, all these things. I kind of lost that edge. And that was the one thing I was looking for when I transferred, you know what I mean? A program was going to let me be myself. Let me be that fun, loving, talking crap to people like you guys talk about, you know what I mean? Like talking crap, being yourself, being like I'm at me and my best. I'm the most confident player on the court. No one could tell me anything. So I was just trying to find that edge, and I came to Syracuse, and everything that I wanted came true in that process. So I'm just so blessed and thankful. And it's kind of just been that whole, I know this is a long winded answer, but that the whole entire basketball anxiety has kind of like led me to this place where I feel like I'm better than I ever have been before.
Isn't it amazing? You just ask yourself, are you happy? You know, because when you're going through it, like, you probably don't even really, you don't process that all that much, right? You're just like, all right, head down, keep grinding. Okay, practice, game, film, scout, live. You're just like, you're almost too busy to worry about yourself a little bit, I can imagine. And, you know, and we played Division III and we were busy. I can only imagine the stuff that you guys are going through day in and day out, especially at, you know, with Coach Wright, and he seems like a super demanding guy, and the way that, you know, the system and, you know, jump stop, get to 2 feet, the pivot stuff, everything, right? Which I like the 2 feet thing personally, and, you know, but I can imagine that having to finally, once you kind of sit down and you're outside of that bubble, you know, it's amazing that a simple question like that can kind of jog your memory and kind of knock things loose. Like, oh man, I got to find a new place to go.
Yeah, and I had a great experience at Villanova. I mean, Coach Wright was amazing. We obviously won a lot of games. We won 3 Big East championships. I played with 4 NBA players. So I was blessed and thankful to have that opportunity that Coach Wright gave me. And for me, at the end of that whole entire process, it was exactly that. I mean, like, I didn't sleep. Like, I couldn't sleep without melatonin that whole, like, those whole entire 3 years, you know what I mean? And that was just something for me where it was like, this isn't me, you know what I mean? Like, I've never felt this before. So I think this, like, this whole entire thing, like, I mean, Kevin Love's came out and talked about it. Like, all these NBA, DeMar DeRozan's came out and talked about it. So I feel like it was never a plan for me to be like an advocate about it or anything like that. But I think it's an important topic and something that I'm obviously passionate about.
Well, I think it's, like I mentioned before, I think the younger kids. So I think Kevin Love might have spoken more to you at your age, whereas kids I'm talking like that are 12, 13, 14 right now, I feel, and if we've talked about this a little bit, but I feel like in 5 to 10 years, those kids are going to be affected even more so. Like, I don't mind saying it. Like, I've dealt with anxiety, still do to this very day. And there's different ways that I have to figure out how to cope with things. But I feel like hearing it from someone like yourself, because whether you know it or not, you are a big name in the New England area, especially, but in the East Coast and eventually nationally. And I think by you coming out and saying that, by that being on a platform on Twitter from Syracuse on Instagram, people are seeing that, they're listening to it, and it's gonna be life-changing to a lot of kids, whether you know it or not. So, you know, I applaud you for that, because it's not an easy thing to come out and talk about, especially for someone like yourself at your age. Talking about your Villanova experience, our guy, Joey Flannery, D3 guy. Now I have to ask, do you have any good Joey Flannery stories? Number one. And number two, did he ever hop into practice, and did he ever was it ever like a time where you and your teammates were like, oh shit, like this guy is actually pretty damn good?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, Joey, for one, is probably one of the hardest workers I've ever been around, just being available at all times. like Sadiq Bey and Joey Flannery, like that was Sadiq's trainer. You know what I mean? Like that whole entire year, it'd be me, Sadiq, and Joey. And then Sadiq and Joey would go and do their own thing. You know what I mean? Like they were like constantly in the gym together. They talk every single day. And a lot of Sadiq's success, he gives to Joey. So Joey A is obviously an amazing basketball player. And he would come into practice and he'd play well. Like Coach Ray would like turn around and be like, hey, like Joey could start for us right now. And we'd be like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like he was just so smart and like,
yeah, imagine coaching against him in Division III. It was a nightmare.
Unbelievable. So
it was a nightmare.
One time, Joey's knees were hurting him at the. That's why he retired was because his
yeah, his body started to give up on him a little bit.
Yeah. So, but Joey every once in a while, like he would get bouncy, right? So one day of practice, he's practicing because we have guys injured. You know what I mean? And Coach loves having Joey because he's physical, tough. You know what I mean? So Joey one day rips baseline, one dribble, and like tries to like climb up Brandon Slater's chest and dunk it on him. Brandon blocked him, and it was like maybe 3 years ago, but not today. And after that, Joey never tried to dunk again.
I love that. Joey was an anomaly at the D3 level, shouldn't have been at the D3 level. And he could score in a variety of different ways. Right. But yeah, I had to ask.
There's not too many grad assistants who are potentially dunking on like the starting four.
That could start at Villanova. Right. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like a GA. Yeah. Like most GAs are guys who didn't play basketball. You know, they were like former managers or, you know, but like never mind ripping baseline and almost putting it on the like starting four for Nova. You know, like
it's like Joey had like a flashback. You know what I mean? Like he all of a sudden, yeah. You know what I mean? Like
I unfortunately saw plenty of those against the guys I was, you know, Caleb could tell you, I'm sure too. It's just like, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, and so you're moving on from Nova. You're kind of, you know, you sit down with your dad, you have that conversation like, all right, I'm looking to go somewhere new. You're talking to Tim and Coach Hart and, you know, I'm assuming Q's, and I remember actually having this conversation with you in the St. Andrews gym when you had chosen Villanova and why you chose there versus maybe even PC or the, you know, the number of other BC and all the number of other schools that were recruiting you. You know, and then this time around, did you kind of have a different mindset going through the recruitment process? Because I'm sure you're hearing from everybody, you know, like you said, you played on a big stage with Nova, you know, the Big East Championships and things like that. And I'm sure you heard from everyone, you know, what made you choose Syracuse in the long run?
Yeah, my mindset was totally different this time around. I mean, the first time around, I was looking at all these different things. And obviously, you know, your mom's a big proponent in your decision. And she loved Villanova. She loved the culture. And everything about Villanova was great besides the actual basketball fit. And that was literally my only look. I mean, obviously, when it came to, like, great coaches and all that stuff, that was big for me. But literally for me, it was all about the coaching, all about the play style and the fit in terms of play style. So, I mean, looking around the country, I mean, Syracuse was one of the top schools. And during COVID, you couldn't go and visit anywhere, especially after the season that you still weren't allowed to visit anywhere. So it made it an easy decision for me, just knowing where I was with Syracuse. Coach Boeheim called me the first day and he told me, he was like, hey, we believe in you in high school. We still believe in you now. We believe you can be a big time player. GMAC called me. GMAC, Jerry McNamara, the assistant, obviously legend here. Probably one of the best college players of all time.
You know, he's a top five all-time Qs guy, I would say.
Oh, for sure.
I loved him.
Yeah, I would say he's first team. He's first team all Syracuse for sure. All Big East probably too.
Yeah, and his first message to me was like, come be the Joe Burrow of college basketball. You know what I mean? Like, come change your college career here, because I believe in you that much that you can come do that. And I was like, yes, like I want that. I want
that's an interesting recruiting tactic. That's really smart. I would never have thought like to compare you to, but it's smart. It makes sense. Like a guy who's highly recruited, right, goes to a place, you know, the athletic fit isn't great, and now you get to reinvent yourself. Shout out to GMAC. That's that's a great tactic. And obviously it worked.
Yeah.
Cole, you played for BABC and AAU growing up. Maybe not so growing up, but in your high school career at least, and probably a good majority of AAU career, do you feel like that was part of like maybe helping in the decision making process, knowing that Q's likes to run a 2-3 zone?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously playing for Leo, you play that 3-2, and I would play up top a lot of the times, and you just kind of run. They just put the longest guy up there, and you kind of just run around and try and create turnovers and stuff like that. But when talking to my dad, I did bring up, I was like, the highest level basketball I ever played against and the highest level I played in my life was UIBL. And I played in the zone and I was able to shoot and I was able to do the things I could do offensively. And ultimately that was the most success that I had at that high of a level. So why not go do that at Syracuse? You know what I mean? I wasn't afraid to go play man to man. I know a lot of people say like, oh, he's not a great defender, this and that. Like I want to prove people wrong in that sense, like, cause I can play man to man. You know what I mean? I can play defense at a level where I can be out on the court and not look like a mismatch anywhere. You know what I mean? And like part of me wanted to kind of break that stigma and go play man-to-man defense. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, Syracuse was the best fit for me, not only on the court offensively where I can go and play my game offensively, but ultimately just as a school and being back, getting back to myself in terms of mentality and everything like that. So,
well, it's what you're comfortable with, right? And that's why I bring that up. So like if you're comfortable with doing something your whole life, it's going to make that transition a lot easier, no matter what the level is. And obviously like Syracuse is one of the, and now you see Duke doing it, obviously, and you see some other big time programs, even in the ACC.
Even in the NBA.
In the NBA, Raptors. Yeah. I mean, last year, even Coach Stevens was rolling. Yeah, I was going to say Coach Stevens was rolling out zones at times. But that was one of the reasons why I asked is because when you did receive that offer from Syracuse, that was one of the things I originally thought when I saw you receive that offer was like, this place would make sense. Might've been something that even Coach Sheen might've thought at the time too, because of them being a notoriously long team that is able to, you know, force people into taking bad shots and bad looks. Unfortunately, any team that I've ever coached, we aren't able to do zone because they, you know, a lot of the guys are 5'10" and they're not able to get from one spot to the other. So
well, I think that's the most deceptive thing with Syracuse. Everyone's like, oh, we could do the zone. Like, yeah, you know, we'll listen to a Coach Boeheim clinic and we'll be able to run it. And it's like, well, is your guard at the top, Mike Carter Williams, who's 6'8" and he can tie his shoes standing straight up and down. Like,
right.
You know, it's like, no, that's not how it works. Like you need, you know, and you need like, you know, you guys have this year, the kid, Jesse Edwards, who was enormous, like in the middle of the zone. And they had Dolaje, you know, in the past couple of years. And so one of my best friend's younger brothers went to Syracuse, has been a Syracuse fan his whole life. So I told him we were having you on. He was like, his eyes lit up. He's like, you got to be kidding me. Oh, this is so great. So we were kind of talking about the lineup and I'm curious, you know, where in the zone they have you. Do they have you down on the wing? I'm assuming they have like Joe, Gerard, and Buddy up at the top. Yep. And then are you on the wing? And then like the center, Jesse Edwards or whoever that center is this year, obviously in the middle. And then who else do they have kind of as your counterpart on the other wing?
Yeah. So, I mean, through the exhibition so far, we've had Joe and Buddy up top and me and Jimmy Boeheim, the other Boeheim on the
wing. Right. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
So Buddy's 6'6". Me and Jimmy are both 6'9". Joe's obviously 6'1", like obviously not a huge player, but then Jesse's 7'1" with a 7'4" wingspan. So
that's a lot of length.
Yeah. So these past 2 years for Syracuse, they haven't had that kind of like that size in a typical Syracuse zone. They had 6'6" and 6'5" last year on the wings. So having 2 6'9" players on the wings who can kind of take up that space and play a typical Syracuse zone has Coach Boeheim excited. And obviously what we can do on the offensive end is going to speak for itself.
Well, I was about to say that too. They haven't really had the combination of shooting at those positions either. Like, you know, the fact that all four of you can absolutely drill it.
Yeah.
Right. Is obviously going to, you know, and again, it shows in the exhibition, the amount of points you guys, you and Joe and Buddy are being able to score. And then obviously Jimmy's going to get going. Like, you know, the fact that you guys can kind of, you know, really just let it fly this year, I'm sure like your eyes must be like, this is amazing. Just catching the rip, which is kind of like, you know, again, back to Nova, like that's obviously Coach Wright's big thing, right? Catch to shoot. Yep. And I'm sure, you know, that's paying dividends for you now, knowing that I'm sure GMAC and Coach Boeheim are kind of giving you guys the green light.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Coach Boeheim told me when he was recruiting me, he was like, I'm never going to tell you not to shoot. And I was like, that's all I need to hear, Coach.
That's, yeah. And so speaking of Coach Boeheim, obviously, you know, a legend and everyone, you know, from the East Coast, everyone in the country knows who Coach Boeheim is. If you don't and you're a basketball fan, shame on you. But, you know, and it's so funny, like, you know, he's obviously been coaching at Hughes for a really long time. And, you know, is he, I have to ask this, you see him on TV, you see his antics and, you know, is he as much of a, you know, quote unquote curmudgeon as everyone in the media kind of, you know, makes him out to be?
I mean, one thing with Coach Boeheim is that what you see is what you get. You know what I mean? It's not like who he is what you see on TV. You know what I mean? Obviously, like you see him picking his nose and he, you know what I mean? All that stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He doesn't
but,
give a
but
shit.
At the end of the day, he's the most loyal guy I've ever been around. He's the most humble guy I've been around, and he just keeps things simple. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't try and outthink the game. He doesn't try and make things too complicated. He's a brilliant offensive mind. He obviously pretty much invented the 2-3 zone and how it should be run and everything like that. So he obviously has the ability to be very complex in what he does with the system, but he's very simple. He doesn't overthink it. Our practices are 1 hour, 2 hours at most. Like, what we do is pretty simple every single day. And what his whole entire philosophy is, like, let's not try and like outthink people. Let's just play basketball, do our concepts and go from there. You know what I mean? If we're going to win off of making shots and doing all those things right. Let's just not try and outthink the game. Let's just play our game and go with that.
Every college player, especially someone with, as much history that you've already had at the college level, it usually has one goal in mind, which is to win a national championship. So I'm assuming that's on your bucket list right now as a player. What I was going to ask beyond that is, what are your goals moving forward within this game without, again, trying to have so much of that basketball anxiety pressure built up? Is it that you want to just go out there and hoop every day, or is it something that you're like, you know what, like, I want to get back to being that confident Cole and proving people wrong and being able to play at that highest level?
Yeah, I think kind of going through this whole entire journey, my faith has been very, very big in what I want to do. You know what I mean? I think going to Villanova and experiencing those things only helped me. So like now I have a list on my wall of my goals from 21, 22 and all those things. I look at it every single day. And it's obviously team goals and personal goals that I have. And at the end of the day, I'm just going to let God run his course, and everything that's meant to happen is going to happen for me. But all I try and do is just work hard every single day, live in the gym, do all the right things in terms of diet, nutrition, meditation, mentally trying to prepare myself. Like I said in the video that released today, I try and live by the 5 P's, you know what I mean? Proper preparation prevents poor performance, and trying to live that every single day is something that I take pride in. Whatever is going to happen through that, I already feel like myself again in terms of on the court, my confidence, my swagger, being able to talk, being able to throw up a three after I hit a three, you know, all those things I feel like I'm back to. And I'm just so excited for the possibilities and the opportunity that this season will bring.
You're only 2 exhibition games into the season. I know it's super early. And you might not be able to answer this question, but what would you say has been the biggest change so far going from where Cole was last year in the beginning of his Villanova season to where you are right now at Syracuse?
I think I'm just able to dribble the ball a lot better. I'm moving a lot better. Last year, I was guarding a lot of fives, so I was around 230. And now I'm 218, 220, less body fat, you know what I mean, a lot leaner. So I'm able to move a lot better. My footwork's gotten a lot better. Because now my role is to run off of screens. I'm dribbling the ball. I'm coming off of ball screens. I'm a lot more dynamic in what I do now. So my body had to change in order to be able to do that. So I think the combination of getting my body to a point where I can be a guard, a true guard at 6'9", but also still having the strength to bang with the bigs and do all these things has been the biggest transformation in my game. Because I went from trying to lift heavy, like trying to lift very, very heavy at Villanova to try and stock up to guard five men, but now I strictly just focus on like my footwork and I'm lifting like the kind of like the TB12 method, you know what I mean? Less reps or more reps.
That pliability stuff. Yeah. Okay. Body weight stuff, things like that. A lot of band work and stuff like that. That's great. And I got one more question for you. You know, obviously you come from a great basketball family. You know, your sister's being highly recruited right now. I think, is she going to be a senior this year?
Junior.
You know, is she potentially looking at Q's as well now because you're there and, you know, you'll have the family tie and things like that? Or is she still kind of open in the whole process, you know, going through the whole thing?
Yeah, she's still going through the process. Syracuse just went is going to go through a coaching change after this year. They have an interim coach right now, so they're not really like recruiting that next class. So they're trying to keep their jobs. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, they just want to win now.
But yeah, no, she has some good offers. She has some good places that she could go to. But she's still open to the whole entire process, filling new schools. You know how that process goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Well, it's great. It's great for her, you know, because obviously you went through the whole thing being highly recruited, and then, you know, ended up transferring or ended up not loving where you were, you know, so you're able to kind of, I'm sure, pass some knowledge down to her being like, hey, make sure you really check out everything before you kind of make a decision, which is great. I wanted to ask you about her, obviously, because I had met her again at St. Andrews going to your games and, you know, she's a legitimate 6'4" probably.
Four. Yep.
Yeah. You can't miss her when she walks in the gym. Like, you know, your whole family, your mom and your dad too, you know, you're like, oh, that's definitely Cole's parents.
Tyler Kolick on, we made sure to mention to Tyler and to Coach Smart, that we're looking forward to going to a game this season. We made sure before we actually hopped on this interview tonight, we made sure to hit Tyler Kolick up on a group message to say we can't wait to be sitting courtside this season for Marquette. I'm not going to be that guy who asked.
He left us on red. He left us on red. So.
But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you, Coach. I think they had a game tonight, whether it was an exhibition or a real game. I do think they had a game tonight, so we'll let it slide. But if he doesn't answer by, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock tonight, might be issues.
Maybe reemphasize the message. Just give it the double tap to reemphasize.
But we're going to be huge fans of yourself. We're going to be promoting you like we did to Tyler. We obviously saw that you have just partnered with iSlide, who we had on this podcast in season one with Justin Kittredge. Justin and I are close friends when he first started. With everything that's going on in college sports now, I think you would be a great person for people to get attached to. I think everything that you're doing, obviously we already talked about it in terms of just speaking up, can put you in a spot where you can be influential, to say the least. So we're going to be pushing you heavily on this side. And then, you know, obviously, you know, being in the league that you're in, you know, we're not asking to go to Cameron Indoor or anything, but like, you know, like if you want to throw us that way, like, Coach and I will hop on a plane. It's not a big deal.
If you can just get us in Conti Forum, for that matter, can just get us up to the.
Hey, I don't know. She has a busy schedule with Severian Brothers, so yeah. I don't know.
Wow. You know what, Cole? I'm glad you said that. You say that, because you're right. Coach does have a busy schedule. It's hard enough to get him on the Zoom.
Hey, we have Saturdays off, though. And that's a lot of the game days. So
that's, hey, what do you know? What do you know?
Cole, when do you guys open up? Do you open up on Tuesday with a lot of the other school you do? Who do you guys have? Who do you open
Tuesday
up
against Lafayette, 7 p.m.
Okay. And you guys are in the dome?
Yep. So we're in the dome for the first three games. Then we go to Battle for Atlantis.
That's amazing. Oh, and you know what? Here's one more question. Sorry, not to keep you too much longer here, but what's it like shooting in the dome? Is it tough? What, you know, was it difficult the first time you got out there?
Man, I would say shooters can shoot anywhere. You know what I mean? If it's Sage Gym at St. Andrews, if it's the Carrier Dome, it's all the same. They're all like in Hoosiers, right? When they go to the
rim, they measure 10 feet,
and then they look at the ball, make sure the ball is round. My dad's always preached that to me. So yeah, man, it's been great.
That's awesome. Three that you hit this week, is it going to be televised?
Yeah.
So when you hit that first three and you throw up that three ball sign, just make sure, just let me know that it's for me and for Coach Sheehan so that we can go, yep, just throw that right to the head, whatever it is.
First one's for Sheehan, second one's for you, Brendan.
I love that. And you know what? I respect that because you have a more of a relationship with Ryan, but it is what it is.
Me and Sheehan sat next to each other for a whole entire fall while he was recruiting six of our guys.
So. I mean, honestly, yeah, we were recruiting. I mean, obviously, we ended up getting Caleb. Sean ended up going to Clark.
Yeah.
Nevin. We were trying to recruit Nevin before he got the scholarship to South Carolina upstate. So, I mean, yeah, that'd we were on everybody. Did. The only person we weren't texting was you.
Seriously, everyone on our roster you were there for.
Well, Cole, we appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule. We know you're a busy guy these days. We're going to be following up on your season and your success this season. We wish you nothing but that. And we know that you're going to achieve everything you're looking to do because you're on the right path, my man. And we, again, you taking the time out to do this with us means a lot. Coach, anything before he goes?
No, Cole, just great seeing you again, brother. And, you know, best of luck with everything. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get up to BC to see you. I would love to do that. That way we can see you in person. And I'm sure you'll have your all of your family and friends at that one, you know, because that's the local game for you guys now. So best of luck with everything. You know, go get that money with the NIL and let it rain out there, brother. Go win a national title.
And I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys having me on and keep doing your thing, Sheen. I know we talked about you being a college head coach one day, so let's do it.
Working it. I took a step back. Went high school first, but we're working our way up. We'll figure it out.
Yep.
All right, Cole.
Thanks, brother. We appreciate it.
Have a good one, guys.